Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its third quarter 2020 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du troisième trimestre 2020. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we'll conduct a question and answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties and could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, May 13th, 2020, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Dugré and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Yes, thank you very much, and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet, I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll say a brief word in French to our French audience. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section Investors. Frédéric Dugré, President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. During this call, Frédéric will give an update on the business and present highlights of the third quarter 2020. And I will be presenting the financial result of this quarter. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 and the non-IFRS financial measures on page 3 of the presentation. Now hand over the call to Frédéric. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you for joining the call today regarding the presentation of our third quarter results ended March 31st, 2020. We are extremely proud of the results we're presenting today. They truly testify the success of our strategy to focus on building a business relying on recurring sales and high customer retention. As presented on page number 4, the third quarter was punctuated mostly by the impressive revenue growth of 60% coming from the specialty products. Indeed, the acquisition of Genesis completed on November 2019, is improving strategically our corporate profile from a revenue, gross margin, and profitability perspective. It was also quite nice to see the sustained growth of Piedmont and PWT for this quarter, both adding also strong gross profit margin to our consolidated results. On top of that, we also experienced a really positive comeback from our maple farming equipment division compared to last year. As of today, and even more while going through the COVID-19 pandemic, we can say that our Genesis acquisition is delivering as planned. The integration roadmap is progressing well, with 60% completion on all the tactical objectives that we have. We started also to capture the first sales synergies. At page number 5, we see that part of our revenue growth for this third quarter was also coming from our O&M business pillar. From all the business lines that we have, it is by far the most resilient business line that we have due to the nature of services that we're providing. You know, people won't stop drinking water, neither they will stop flushing their toilets. So, and for this third quarter, the O&M is showing a 7.1% organic growth, mostly driven by scope expansion on existing O&M contracts and by addition of new MUDS customer, Municipal Utility District in Texas, related to the A's South in Houston. Supported by strong specialty products revenue, the gross profit margin increased from 23% to almost 29% for this quarter. We are very proud to present a record high adjusted EBITDA of $3.8 million, or 10.5% of the revenues. This marked an important milestone for the company, for its employees who continue to work and continue to go above and beyond to serve our customers, manufacture amazing products, launch new technologies, and support the overall business in many ways. On a good note as well, the earnings reached $1.6 million before non-recurring and non-cash impairment of $5.3 million related to the project and aftermarket business pillar. Mark will further discuss this later in the presentation. Overall, I would say that we delivered strong results for this third quarter. Our business model, presented on page 6, focused on growing recurring sales and improving our profit margin through specialty products, is indeed delivering positive results. Here's a couple of key drivers behind this significant financial improvement. As mentioned previously, the acquisition of Genesis completed on November 2019, combined to the sustained growth of Piedmont and to the comeback of our maple farming equipment, are responsible of our performance today. Furthermore, the performance of PWT can't be ignored, since the addition of new distributors secured last year is starting to provide positive results in specific, very promising regions such as Saudi Arabia. Also, the 7.1% revenue growth from the O&M activity, boosted by scope of work and new MUDS customers, are also contributing to improve our financial performance for this third quarter. Unfortunately, the sustained growth of the second and third business pillar are partially offset by the 24.8% revenue decrease experienced in the first business pillar. Indeed, the postponement and even cancellation of a singular project in California have not allowed us to generate the revenues expected. Nevertheless, our combined backlog remains strong and diversified at $136 million, giving us an excellent visibility for the coming quarters. In a nutshell, our business model is solid and relies on three distinct but highly complementary business pillars. It also creates multiple sales synergies between the different business lines and provide a one-stop shop value proposition for customers. Moving to page number 7, navigating through the COVID-19 crisis have allowed us, and hopefully for investors, to realize a few things about our business. Indeed, water is truly a necessity. Everything relies on water. No water, no food, no power, no manufactured products, no transformational. No animals and no life. As I said earlier, people won't stop drinking water. They will continue to take showers and wash their clothes, and they will neither stop to flush their toilets. Going through this global crisis, we also realize how resilient and recession-proof is our business model, with 88% of recurrent revenues by nature. So, early in the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, we have implemented many preventive and protective measures to ensure the continuity of our services for all our business lines in 4 countries where we have operation and employees located. We are also closely monitoring our cash flow and haven't seen any deterioration and change in our cash flow cycles, partially due to the nature of services we are providing. For all these reasons, we have been able to respect all bank covenants and maintain a healthy financial situation. At slide number 8, we are showing how we have continued to ensure the selling, manufacturing, and shipping of specialty chemicals around the world. Despite the global pandemic, our team was able to produce a record high number of batches and orders while respecting physical distancing and other sanitation best practices. During that time, our salespeople and distributors were engaged with customers to provide virtual training on our products and securing new orders. What a teamwork we have. On a similar manner, our O&M team, as shown on slide number nine, continued to service and expand our 200-plus municipal, commercial, and industrial water and wastewater utilities while facing adversity. not only the COVID-19 crisis, but also recovering from different tornadoes in March while impacting the states of Georgia and Mississippi. We have a terrific team in place with so much experience in crisis management. Think about it. Our team had to face the terrible Hurricane Katrina that devastated notably the coast of Mississippi in 2005. A couple of years ago, it was Hurricane Harvey that paralyzed the entire Houston metro area in 2017. Today, going through the pandemic, we realize how valuable it is to rely on such a solid and experienced team, capable to face adversity with courage, care, and determination. I'm really proud of our employees, and I want to thank them for their amazing work while continuing to respect the extraordinary sanitation measures we implemented. At slide number 10, we are showing how the level of recurring revenues by nature has evolved over the previous financial periods. The strategic decision to focus in growing recurring sales and focusing on customer retention has allowed us to significantly de-risk the business, improve cash flow, and gross margin profit. For our third quarter, the recurring revenues reached a new high of 88%, driven by our specialty products that we manufacture and export in more than 80 countries, by the operation and maintenance we're providing to 200-plus water and wastewater utilities in North America, and by our after-sales market we're providing to our project install base. Moving to slide number 11, we see that our business mix has a strong impact on our adjusted EBITDA improvement. For this third quarter of 2020, looking at the last 12 months, we continue to observe an organic growth, mostly fueled by the growth of our second and third business pillar. On an LTM basis, consolidated revenue reached $129 million, while adjusted EBITDA continued its progression to reach $10.1 million. The strategy to grow first the specialty products and the O&M business pillar had a direct and positive impact on our adjusted EBITDA. I will now pass it on to Marc Blanchet, our CFO, who will review and discuss the financial performance of our company for the third quarter and then March 31st.
Thank you, Frederic. So if we move to slide 13, first pillar project and aftermarket. The revenues of this third quarter for this pillar stood at 6.7%, which is a decrease compared to 8.9% last year. On a last 12-month basis, revenue stands at 31.5%, which is again a decrease from 41.6% last year. The weight of projects on consolidated revenue significantly decreased. On a last 12-month basis, project revenue represented 38% of the consolidated revenue in 2019. Now it represents 24%. Which, as Frederic expressed or explained, it's in line with our strategy to focus more on revenues that are recurring in nature, such as specialty products and operation and maintenance. This decrease is explained by the fact that on the last 12-month basis, consolidated revenue increased by 17%, while the LTM project revenues decreased by 24%. As for the gross profit margin, we can see the result also of this strategy of being selective on project. We bid, where the gross profit margin stood at $1.3 million, or 18.6%, compared to 16% last year. Therefore, we can see that being selective on project with higher gross profit margin, project aimed towards wastewater and industrial, is paying off. This decrease in revenue impacted the project EBAC negatively. Project EBAC stood at $100,000 or 0.8% for this quarter compared to $500,000 last year or 5% last year, representing again a decrease. On the third quarter, the corporation suffered from delays of some specific project, and at the previous quarter call in mid-February, I mentioned that the project was suspended and that we expected to have $3 to $5 million of revenue being postponed to next fiscal year. Unfortunately, we have recently been notified that this project has been canceled. On May 5, we announced the cancellation of this $10 million project, and we removed it from our backlog. The backlog now stands at $33.3 million, which is a 30% decrease from last year. Over the last few weeks, we have also suffered of delay in some projects due to the COVID-19 crisis.
Therefore, revenues that we expected to recognize this year are going to be postponed to the next fiscal year. At the end of this fiscal year, management expects that the project and aftermarket business pillar will finish the year with about $10 million less of revenue compared to last fiscal year. This project cancellation and these delays due to the COVID-19 pandemic forced the management to review the forecast of his business pillar with new growth assumption. As a result of this analysis, management recognized a non-cash and non-recurring impairment charge of $5.3 million against goodwill and impairment and intangible assets. Management maintains its objective of improving the corporation's profitability and will remain selective on projects on which the corporation intends to bid, focusing on projects with higher gross profit margin and projects that may generate recurring revenues, such as operation and maintenance contracts and aftermarket revenues. Management also maintains its strategy, which aims at growing the second and the third business pillar in order to continue to grow recurring revenue, in particular, specialty products revenue, which are characterized by high gross profit margin. If we move at slide 14, we will talk about specialty products. So the revenue for this business pillar stood at $12.9 million during this third quarter, compared to $8 million last year. It's an increase of $4.9 million, or 60% increase compared to last year. This increase is supported by the acquisition of Genesis, which was closed on November 15 and generated $3.1 million for this third quarter. Also, we've had significant orders of Piedmont that were delivered during this quarter. And as Frederick explained, the sales of maple, which recovered from last year's slow season. On a last 1 month basis, revenue also increased significantly from 22.4 to 35.3 this year. This 58% increase is the result of our effort we've done to increase the revenue from specialty business pillar. Investment done in Piedmont combined with the acquisition of Genesis will continue to generate growth of the revenue from this business pillar in the upcoming quarters. The gross profit margin stood at 5.9% or 45.4%, the gross profit margin stood at $5.9 million. It's 45.4% for this third quarter, compared to last year where it was at 38%. It's an increase of $2.8 million, and of course an increase in percentage. The gross profit margin increased by 88%, while the revenue increased by 60.5%. Specialty products EBAC stood at $3.6 million, or 27%, compared to $1.7 million last year, or 20%, representing an increase of close to $2 million and 115% increase. This is due to high level of revenue, good control on operating and selling expenses, as well as addition of the Genesis acquisition. If we move to slide 15, operation and maintenance. So there's the revenue for this business pillar, which are very recurring revenue, have increased by 16.4% compared to 16.4 compared to 15.3 last year. It's 7% growth. This increase is due to the organic growth seen in both utility partners and Hayes. On a last 12-month basis, we've also increased significantly from 62 compared to 46. This is 35% increase, mostly coming from Hayes. The gross profit margin is pretty stable at 19.6% this year. Last year was 19.5. But it generated $200,000 more, so it's 7.6% increase compared to last year. The EBAC stood at 2.2 or 13.6 this year compared to 1.9 or 12.6 last year. It's, and again, an increase of $300,000 or 15.4%. This variation is due essentially to high control on expenses, this pillar. On March 31st, the O&M backlog stood at $103 million compared to 13, so it's a 13.6% increase compared to last year. It's important to note that at Hayes, the contract are not included in the backlog. This significant backlog combined with the high recurring revenue coming from Hayes customers are providing us an excellent visibility on the revenue for the upcoming quarter. Page 16, if we look at it on a consolidated basis,
So we report revenues of 36.1 million. It's an increase of 11.6 compared to last year. As explained earlier, this increase is mainly coming from the acquisition of Genesis, as well as organic growth from specialty products and operation and maintenance. The gross profit margin ratio increased to 28.7% compared to 23% last year. This increase of the gross profit margin percentage is explained by the increase in the gross profit margin coming from specialty products, notably affected by the positive acquisition of Genesis, improvement of gross profit margin from the project and aftermarket, and adoption of the new accounting IFRS 16 accounting rule. For those who are less familiar with this new accounting rule, IFRS 16, what it does essentially, on the accounting perspective, it considers lease the same way as assets are considered. So on a P&L, rent expenses has been replaced by amortization expenses and interest accretion. On the balance sheet, we will be able to identify it in the new section, right of use of assets and lease liabilities. The net loss is mainly due to the impairment of 5.3 million taken on the project and aftermarket business pillar, as I explained it earlier. We've had to reduce the value of the goodwill and the intangible assets. The COVID-19 pandemic forced the management to review the forecast of its business pillar with new growth assumption, notably for the business pillar of project, mostly impacted by project being canceled or delayed, the project being canceled and delays in other projects. Due to those new projections, the result of the test concluded that the recoverable value of the project and aftermarket division is not sufficient to support the book value. Therefore, we have to write off goodwill and intangible coming from previous acquisition. It's only specific to this business pillar. Without the impact of the non-recurring and non-cash impairment, the corporation would have presented a net earning of 1.6 million for Q3. If we look at page 17, SG&A expenses, they increased this quarter essentially due to the acquisition of Genesis. So it's an addition of $700,000. We've also, since last year, created a new procurement department, and hirings have been done in Piedmont, in aftermarket sales team, and also in the admin team to support the growth. The adoption of IFRS 16 also has an impact here of $200,000. It decreases G&A by $200,000. So even if this G&A in percentage increased during this third quarter, the objective of management is still to maintain the objective to finish the year, so our financial year, which ends June 30, with SG&A over revenue that are below 18%. Adjusted EBITDA. So the adjusted EBITDA increased by 1.6 million and reached 3.8 million during this quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA in percentage is now was at 10.5%, which is a significant increase compared to 6.8 last year. This increase of adjusted EBITDA is driven by the increase in revenue, the increase of the gross profit margin, essentially coming from Genesis and Piedmont, and the impact of IFRS 16. The adoption of IFRS 16 reduced the adoption of IFRS 16 contributed to reduce by $400,000 the operating lease expenses for the third quarter 2020. Excluding this adjustment, we would have been at 9.4%. So compared to last year, with the same, without the accounting rule, IFRS 16 would have been at 9.4%. In previous call in November and in February, I expressed the objective of the management to reach an adjusted EBITDA of 7 to 8% over revenue for this fiscal year. After 9 months, the adjusted EBITDA now stands at 7.9%. Therefore, we're confident that we will be close to the upper threshold of this objective for 2020, which ends June 30. Financial position, slide 19. So the working capital increased by 4 million. It was at 12.8 on June 30, 2019, and increased to 16.8 on March 31st. The working cap is mainly impacted by IFRS 16, which added on March 31st 1.3 million in the current portion of the lease liability. The increase in the working cap is due also to the acquisition of Genesis on the balance sheet. The receivable increased by 7.6 million to 27 on March 31st compared to 19.4 on June 30. The integration of Genesis added 3.4 million, and the growth of Piedmont explains most of those variation on the balance sheet, most of this increase. Just want to say that although the level of account receivable is higher than usual, all significant account receivable are insured by EDC, and most of them have been collected in April. I want to highlight that in the context of the COVID-19 crisis, a very special attention is given to collection of receivable. Inventory increased by $300,000. This increase in inventory is mainly due to the acquisition of Genesis, which contributed to $600,000 of increase and offset by the reduction of inventory in the maple business. Account payables were at 14.4, which is an increase of 2.1. This increase is mostly due to Genesis. Page 20, the net debt. So the net debt now stands at 18, which is pretty similar than last quarter. It's a it's an increase compared to June 30, and most of this increase is coming from the new debt we've secured with National Bank for the acquisition of Genesis on November 15. The amount of that new debt was $12 million. As of March 31st, all bank covenants were respected. The bank ratio we have to respect are the debt EBITDA ratio and the FCCR, and just to communicate it, the debt EBITDA ratio was at 2.5 times on March 31st, and FCCR was at 1.65. So we continue, we've never stopped reimbursing our long-term debt with National Bank. So we've made all our payments so far, even through the crisis, and we expect to reduce the long-term debt by about 2.5 to 3 million by June 30. On March 31st, we had 6.7 million in cash, and we had also availability on our line of credit of 5 million. So talking about cash flow, on slide 21, the operating activities generated $900,000 in cash for Q3 compared to a used of $200,000 last year. The increase in cash flow from operating activities is coming from the improvement of the earnings before income tax and before an impairment. As you can see on this slide, the cash flow from operating activities before change in working cap items was at $4 million, which is $2 million higher than last year. Again, I want to reiterate that given the current COVID-19 situation, we are closely monitoring our cash flow. This concludes my remark on the financial section, and I'll now hand the call over back to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. Moving to slide number 22, well, we do have blue sky ahead of us. So we believe that many opportunities will emerge coming out of the COVID-19 crisis in the coming months and years. First, our project and aftermarket business pillar remains well positioned to capture future infrastructure projects in Canada and in the US. So if federal governments decide to invest, as they did in the past, money towards infrastructure programs in order to upgrade or expand their aging infrastructures, we should be well positioned to capture some of these opportunities. Second, our large distribution network of specialty products demonstrated that we have a winning strategy. Indeed, we observed that our 120-plus distributors of Genesis, PWT, and Piedmont have been able to supply end users more efficiently since they all carry inventory available locally with minimal lead time for the end user. Also, they have in-house technical expertise that speak the local language and understand the culture, again, in order to support in a better way the end users. We prefer to channel our sales through our distributors than having salesmen traveling, and actually they wouldn't be traveling, and flying around to seek for new businesses and maintain remotely client relationship. Finally, for the O&M business pillar, we believe that small and mid-sized municipalities, private utilities, and industries will rely more on experienced contractor operators, such as H2O Innovation. Contractor operators can better manage these water and wastewater assets to ensure a greater continuity of operations, compliance, and safety in the services provided to ratepayers. We believe we could mitigate operational risk for many utilities owners facing limited resources that remain exposed to interruption in their services. In such case, we can become their number one contingency plan to ensure continuity of services and compliance with a large team of certified operators at competitive cost. In summary, at slide number 23, well, we are really proud of our third quarter results. With a decent growth of 11.6%, supported by 88% of recurring sales coming from revenues generated by the aftermarket, the specialty products, and the O&M side of the business, we can say that our business model is solid and resilient. Our focus to grow predominantly our specialty products offering, and recently through the acquisition of Genesis, is paying off. Through our one-stop-shop business model, we are promoting multiple sales synergies and high customer retention. At the same time, it allows us to significantly de-risk business. We are presenting an adjusted EBITDA of $3.8 million, equivalent to 10.5% of our revenues, up 72% compared to the same quarter in previous year. This is an historical high for the company, and it shows the scalability of our company. Our sales backlog, combining projects and O&M, long-term contracts, remains high at $136 million, again giving us excellent visibility for the coming quarters. One thing is sure, water is essential to our day-to-day, and therefore we have been able to maintain the continuity of our operations during the COVID-19 pandemic. By ensuring the continuity of our operations, our financial situation remains strong, and our balance sheet is not over-leveraged, allowing us to continue to navigate through the COVID-19 crisis in a positive manner with multiple opportunities ahead of us. Finally, it's worth to mention that earlier in February, we have been nominated as Water Company of the Year by the Global Water Intelligence Agency in UK for the impressive and transformational 19 year we had. It is truly an honor to be nominated in this category, particularly as we are celebrating our 20th anniversary. The winner for these categories will be announced later this fall. I thank you for attending the call today, and now we'll turn it back to the operator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, press star one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please wait while we compile the questions. Your first question comes from the line of Danielle Rosenberg at Haywood Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I had a question regarding the project division. So in terms of the outlook for you guys, have you adjusted your expectations going forward? I understand, you know, there's some accounting things with the impairment charge, but for you specifically as an opportunity, have your thoughts changed given the current environment?
Well, our focus remained the same, to look for projects with more sustained gross margins. So that's the number one priority. And look for opportunities, again, that will ideally fuel opportunities for the other business pillars. So things we have done, like in the past with Sustainable Water, our partner, where we're doing projects in a design, build, and operate mode, will remain a priority. And we do have projects that we're currently working on that will become, you know, tangible projects in the coming quarter. So That's an area of focus we have.
Okay, and you know, to date, you know, the quarter was good, and you guys definitely have some resiliency in your business lines. I was wondering if there's any color you could share on what you've seen to date in April and May, as we've seen some other sectors being more impacted in those months.
Yeah, if I may take this question, I mean, it's, you know, most of our revenues are recurring in nature. You know, as Fred explained, I mean, people won't stop flushing their toilets and use water. So the manufacturing of chemicals won't stop, you know, us providing chemicals, the manufacturing of specialty products either. We still need to provide spare parts, service. And obviously, which is 50% of our revenues now, is the operation and maintenance. This hasn't stopped. So
So we haven't seen deterioration.
So no deterioration there. As I said, I mean, I gave a bit of an idea where we expect to finish the project business. We still have project in our backlog. Bidding activities are still going on, and we will be working to replenish this backlog. But for the rest, I think it's pretty much in line with what we've done so far.
And do you guys see a bottoming of the backlog? I mean, obviously hard to predict, but early indications on, you know, maybe the back half of the year where it could start growing again. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we do have still, it's very active, you know, for the selling team as we speak. So there's many projects. Again, we're trying to be selective. The good news, unfortunately, yes, we saw this project being canceled. The good news is that now, I mean, the backlog obviously is removed from uncertainties, if I may put it this way. Back in the second quarter, if you remember, we had this project that was on hold. Unfortunately, we received the news that now it was canceled. So now it's clean, if we can put it this way. So the $33 million backlog we have is a clean backlog that will become revenues in the coming quarters. But, you know, we're going to replenish the backlog. I mean, we're working on it. And we announced,
okay,
by the way, in April, we announced seven new projects we secured for $7.6 million. So it shows that, you know, we can still secure projects even though, you know, the current conditions of the global economy.
And Fred, you said it also. I mean, if governments, you know, if the government money goes down again to infrastructure, I mean, we could capture that. But it's early to say at this point. I think we'll have better idea in September.
Yeah. And again, our strategy today is less and less relying on the volatility of the project itself. So that's the beauty of our business. If we have projects, even better. If it's less busy, we're still doing great.
Okay, that's great to hear. Last one for me, just the specialty products division did very well this quarter, ahead of expectations. Is it cross-selling that's occurring? Is it Genesis that's outperforming? What's the driver behind that division?
Well, as we said, there was a couple of drivers behind. Indeed, we started to capture a little bit of sales synergies among the distributors. And obviously, Genesis contributed very nicely, as expected, and a little bit more. Piedmont, very, very, very strong, and still will be till the end of the year. And then, obviously, we saw a nice, I would say, comeback from previous year in the Maple division. So they had a strong year as well. And we have been able to deliver the revenues that we expected before the end of March. So that was great.
Okay. Thanks so much for the color. I'll pass the line. And congrats on a good quarter.
Good. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Your next question comes from the line of Ravil Afzal with Canaccord. Please go ahead.
Hi guys, congratulations on a very strong quarter and hope you guys are keeping safe. Just first question, just going back to the performance by Specialty Chemicals division, this 45% gross margin, do you see this number as being sustainable going forward, or do you think, you know, the product mix was more shifted towards a much more higher margin subdivision, which caused the margins to be close to 45%? How should we be modeling this out going forward?
Well, there's a little bit of product mix influence into that. I mean, you know, the different, for example, I mean, the margins we're making when we're selling a couplings or where we're selling a filter housings or when we're selling, you know, chemicals is slightly different. Even within the chemical groups, we do have different product categories that are driving higher margins or lower margins. And the Maple division also in itself has different margin profile than the chemicals will have.
You know, if I can say, it's great, but don't monetize it on that for the next four quarter, please.
It will remain high. Will it be all the time at 45%? Maybe not. Punctually, we're going to hit that. But yeah, it remains strong though.
Got it. And your outlook for the desalination industry and maple syrup industry for next year, any color that you can provide on that?
Well, the maple industry...
you said maple or desal?
Two.
Both of them, actually.
So let's start with the maple. The maple industry, overall, the producer had a fairly good season in terms of production. The challenge we're hearing, and we're just starting to receive a little bit of information, that it is for them now a challenge to be able to sell their maple syrup production to the end user market. The good news is that now the Federation in Quebec, where it still represents a fairly good 80% of the maple syrup produced around, you know, globally, I would say around the world, but globally, is capable to support, you know, financially in a better way their producer. So, unfortunately, Reveal, it's still a little bit early to know exactly what would be the impact for next year. We're taking also a conservative approach, you know, developing our next fiscal year budget and plan. But overall, I feel optimistic, you know, looking at it, because we did have a good year. So we'll see how it develops. We'll know more by the end of June for sure.
But maybe mostly steady than growth, though.
Yeah,
that's what we're looking at. You know, on a conservative basis, it's mostly steady than growth.
For the desal market, well, we were expecting to see a peak into this market for the year 2024. As the industry globally is forecasting it, we may see a little bit of shift. So this curve of peaking, you know, for 2024 into new infrastructure launch will probably shift a little bit in time. The good news is that this curve, instead of being very steep, will probably be more amortized over a number of years moving forward. But as we speak, I can tell you that we do have multiple projects we're currently delivering in the Middle East, because this is where most of the desalination opportunities are. And we still have a very good visibility on the sales pipeline that we're currently working on as well. So far, so good, I would say.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that comprehensive color. And then just moving on to the projects business, do you see any opportunities for expanding this business outside of North America? Any color on that will be really helpful, or do you think this is going to be more of a North American-centric story for years to come?
Well, looking at our past experience, Reveal, I mean, I would say being there, done that, you know, we tried. It's a challenge to execute a project, you know, within margin, within delay, within schedule in North America, and to do it internationally, it's even harder. We will continue to focus in North America. We have plenty of opportunities that are within reach. U.S. market is still a huge market. We're, you know, I would say barely covering the entire country. So we're going to focus there. And as I said, if the government are launching infrastructure plan, as they have done in the crisis in 2008, 2009, we're extremely well positioned to benefit from that in our domestic market.
Perfect. And just finally, on acquisitive opportunities, is COVID-19 resulting in some acquisitive opportunities for you guys? And how are you thinking about them in terms of how to finance such potential opportunities? Any color on that?
Yeah. So, yes, I mean, we do have still targets, you know, for small, I would say, tuck-in opportunities that we can bolt onto our existing platform, both for the O&M and the specialty products. Again, that's the two areas of focus, because, you know, we have the platform to integrate that, you know, we have the team to integrate it, and we understand these markets. But I will say, in terms of how we're going to finance it, obviously we're very prudent in the way we want to approach it. At this price point, when we look at the price of stock, I mean, we want to be also creating value for the shareholders, and we want to remain accretive. So any dilution at this point is something that we're not envisioning. On the other end, you know, because we're not over-leveraged into our balance sheet, again, on a prudent manner, we're going to see what we can do by using our current balance sheet that we have.
That's all for me, guys. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thank you, Reveal.
Your next question comes from the line of Gabrielle Long with BEA Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. My apologies, I came on the call late, but I so only caught the tail end of your comments, Mark. Did you talk a little bit about, on the project side, what your expectations were in terms of, you know, potential deliveries in the current June quarter, and what your project backlog might end up at by the end of the quarter?
Yeah, I didn't provide any objective of the backlog or any guidance or anything, but what I said is due to those, you know, delays coming from the last few weeks with the pandemic, and also due to the cancellation of this project, this $10 million project, we expect to finish the year with about $10 million less of revenue coming from the project business pillar compared to last year.
Gotcha. Okay, that's helpful.
We're starting to observe, that construction sites are slowly reopening. So as we speak now, this week, for example, we have some of our commissioning people that are going back on sites to get projects moving because everything was on halt on the side of the business. So that's encouraging.
Gotcha. So obviously you will be able to recognize the revenue milestones in project for fiscal Q4.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. And then just a follow-up question on the project side. Obviously you guys have talked about being, you know, taking a more focused approach in terms of new bookings that you take on in that division. But I'm curious to know whether or not there might be an opportunity for you to potentially to spin out that side of the business, or is it too strategic to the other two pillars for you to spin out?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, we're always on the look to see what's the most appropriate thing to do for the company. Again, it fuels indeed opportunities for the other business pillars. It fuels opportunities very obviously for the aftermarket. And aftermarket, it's not a small portion of our revenues. I mean, it's still a fairly good portion. So as soon as we put online a new project, yes, it automatically creates opportunities for the aftermarket and for the other business pillars as well. We see what the future will look like, you know, for the project division. So far, it's part of our business model.
Gotcha. And then moving over to specialty, obviously you had a strong quarter. Seasonality, I guess, helped you. You had strong business at Piedmont. And actually, on Piedmont, can you tell us how much of that $3.5 million large order came out in Q3 and how much is left to be recognized in Q4?
For Piedmont, you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we don't disc-
It was for Genesis at 3.3.
Yeah, 3.3 was for Genesis.
The contribution of Genesis. But for Piedmont, I mean, we're still expecting, quite nice delivery. Very, very active quarter for Piedmont it will be.
But we don't disclose it, per different type of products. So, but, I mean, you know, there are three drivers in the growth. Recovery from the maple, Genesis, and Piedmont. So if Piedmont is 3.1, then you can do the math. I'll let you do the math.
And in the quarter, in the March quarter, I'm just curious whether or not you guys experienced some, within specialty anyways, just inventory building from your customer side that might have helped up with the revenue growth in the quarter.
If we have what, sorry, repeat that for
If you experienced just an inventory buildup from your client's perspective, just accelerating orders ahead of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, from the distributors, mostly on the chemical side, yes, we saw that a little bit at the beginning of it, but now it's more like steady orders. Most of our distributors, particularly the one for PWC, they have specific sales targets that they need to respect each year, and on the specific sales target, when they hit them, we're giving them a financial incentive. So whether they place the order accelerated in Q3, what matters at the end of the day for us is, are they going to meet their year-end target for June 30th? So there was a little bit of stocking orders at the beginning of it, I would say mostly in March, but now it's more back to normal.
But I think the pandemic has established a new standard in stock inventory, so customers' inventory, due to all those logistic issues and all, I think that are
planning a little bit more ahead.
They're planning more ahead, yeah.
Gotcha. And then one last question on the O&M side of things. Obviously that continues to do well. I'm curious to hear about, in terms of new bookings within O&M, do you anticipate any sort of new opportunities to arise between now and maybe the end of the calendar year, and where things are at on that front in terms of the pipeline and potential new signings?
Yeah, we do have a very active sales pipeline on new opportunities we're working on. What could happen between now and the end of June? Obviously, it's long sales cycle business, so we remain optimistic. But the overall, I think, as I did at my closing remark, I think that the contracted operators, such as H2O, will become a number one choice for different small mid-sized municipalities, private utilities, when they will look on how they're going to operate their water and wastewater assets. Because they have a small team, if suddenly one of their guy gets contaminated or is out of work, they're screwed. So if they rely on a team like us with professional certified operators, we can ensure continuity of their operation, ensure them that they will be compliant all the time, and we can dispatch, you know, on a very effective basis, you know, different operators in the field, because we do have a critical mass of number of operators currently. So globally, I think that we'll see more and more traction towards this service offering, which, by the way, represent only and less than 9% of the municipalities or utilities are currently operated by the private sector. So there's still a huge gap that we can capture and grow. So.
And your next question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney with Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Mark and Fred. Frederick, thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning,
Jerry. Hey, I apologize too. I was a little late jumping on, just technical difficulties. I guess that's what happens when you have a couple of kids doing distance learning and you're on a voice over IP phone. So, bandwidth becomes a commodity. Just a couple follow-up questions. A lot of them might have been answered, but obviously, specialty products, you know, great quarter. There's definitely some seasonality in there. Genesis adding a little bit extra oomph to it as well. But on the Piedmont side, what's driving the orders there for the in third and fourth quarter? Just curious if you get a little bit more detail on that. You know,
well, I mean, the business of Piedmont today mostly relies on two things, and I would say it's almost half and half, but it's the couplings, which is fundamental to Piedmont, and the large filter housing. If you remember, we announced earlier also that we have secured the largest, you know, the supply of filter housing for the largest desalination plant in the world, Taweelah in the Middle East, in UAE. So part of that is being recognized a little bit in Q3, most likely will be recognized the rest of it in Q4. So these large orders for filter housing represent a fairly good portion of the drivers behind Piedmont growth. And it's something we had planned. If you remember, we launched the filter housing business a couple of years ago, and rapidly we have ramped up this business. So it's finally paying off. I mean, we had a year of investment and development of technology, development of design, and now we have among the best reference list in the world for large filter housing. So one reference allow us to win another project, which fuels, you know, the backlog, which fuels the opportunities to win another one. So it's snowballing.
That's great. No, it is a unique and great product, so that's helpful. Then switching over to the project side, obviously the backlog has come in. As you look at resources allocated to the project side, is there ability to maybe flex that up, flex that down as maybe the backlog comes in and maybe it becomes de-emphasized? Maybe ability to maybe some of the engineers like reallocate to other areas and then bring back when, you know, if you see an influx of orders, or how do we look at it that on a go-forward basis?
Yeah, so you are absolutely on the money, Jerry. We have been, because we announced on Q2 that this project was kind of on hold, now we have clear visibility that this project is canceled. It was a large one. So indeed, we are currently brainstorming and evaluating all the different possibilities for the project group in itself, including, you know, reassigning some people to do other things as part of the company, to push for additional revenue in short term, supporting existing customers. So we launched also earlier this month what we call the Reconquest customer. So it's a program where we're in line because, you know, we couldn't travel. So we took the opportunity to be on the phone and re-engage with old customer of us. If you remember, we do have a large install base of 750 customers. So we decided to take the opportunities and assign to each of the different people we have in the project group a list of customers with specific targets to call them up and seek for supply of spare parts, of any kind of support to create, you know, a little bit of revenue for the short term. And again, you know, for the benefit of supporting the existing customers. So we're going to shift a little bit of resources. We're going to make sure that we right-size it for the right size of business we have now. And it will be a combination of different actions we're going to take in the coming weeks and months to make sure that this project, you know, get back on track properly.
Got it. And then, you know, you've been de-emphasizing some of the municipal projects in that area. If there were some larger governmental infrastructure projects, you know, obviously, you know, they may come at some lower price points. How do you look at that from a strategic perspective? I mean, do you go after them entirely, or do you just look at your rest of the backlog and availability of, you know, engineering and go after a piecemeal per se, so as not to you know, lower margins or get into a big backlog situation that, you know, a couple of years ago that you worked pretty hard to get out of?
So we want to remain very diligent on the project we want to go after in terms of margins. So as you said, it took us years to move this margin upwards by being more and more selective. So we'll tend to remain selective and focus on higher margins. If a project, on a given project, it might be a little bit, you know, lower than our average targeted margins and usual margins we have, we may give consideration because it may fuel opportunities for the other business pillar. But on the other end, there are some projects where it's just low margin. It doesn't bring any potential chemical sales. It doesn't bring any products for the other business lines or opportunities for operation and maintenance. We're not going to bid on it. So that's the kind of discipline we have today, looking for margins. If the margins is a little bit below, we may give consideration because it has, you know, back-end opportunities to it. Mostly from the chemicals, because it drives higher margins, because it drives opportunity ultimately for the operation. Otherwise, I mean, it's a no-go.
Got it. That's it for me, and just congratulations. It was a really great quarter, especially on the specialty product side. So great to see Genesis. Looks like it's working out well. And
yeah, very happy of our quarter and contribution of Genesis. Very nice. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks.
And there are no further questions at this time. I will turn the call back over to the presenters for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much for attending the call. As we said earlier, we're really happy of our financial performance for the third quarter. We invite you to look at all the documents we file on our website and look forward to talk to you soon. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.